It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are you, Bill?
I'm very well, thank you. I'd hope you are too.
Yeah. Now, No Safe Havens, it could almost be a pop band or a song or something, I guess. UK No Safe Havens Policy and the Common Reporting Standard. The UK government, Bill, recently released its 2019 version of its No Safe Havens Policy paper. What is this paper and what is its scope?
I think if you've seen the TV advertisement for the paint, you'll know that the words No Safe Havens pretty much does what it says on the tin. The UK government has published, as you say, their latest version of its No Safe Havens policy paper. It came out in the second week of March. That was timed to coincide with the Chancellor of the Exchequer, UK Chancellor of the Exchequer's spring statement. It sets out how the UK has seen significant, almost incredible changes and improvements to offshore tax compliance in recent years, and it lists a lot of the results of what's now known as the Common Reporting Standard. I'll come back to that expression in a moment. HMRC in the UK received over the period of the last 12 months 5.6 million records on UK taxpayers' offshore financial transactions in 2018. And that involved around 3 million UK resident individuals or the entities that they control. They might have offshore companies, for example. The Tax Office has confirmed that it has begun this common reporting standard data to detect possible non-compliance. It also receives information, it says, apart from the agreement, from a range of sources, and together this unprecedented amount of data, they say, is at the heart of its approach. And so the scope of it is very wide. It's very aggressive. It has been successful. The revenue, I think, believe it will become even more successful, so they're turning the screw, as it were. This is a means by which the UKNM revenue, in concert with other tax territories, is going to tighten down the opportunity to deny the ownership of assets or income.
So what are Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs objective today with regards to offshore tax evasion?
Well, I said in this No Havens statement, the policy paper, they list three key objectives. They're fairly simple. The first is to maximise returns, and they say to bear down on tax evasion and tax avoidance. Secondly, they want to transform tax and payments for customers. That's a separate issue to compliance, if you like. It's a question of trying to make it simpler for their clients. They call them customers. I'm not sure anyone who's a taxpayer thinks of themselves as a customer, but that's the polite term they give them. And the third is to design and to deliver a more professional, more efficient and engaged organisation in terms of tax collection. Well, those last two don't really matter much. What matters most of all is the first one. They're going to maximise the returns and bear down upon evasion and avoidance. And so, you know, you've been warned, if you have assets which you have mistakenly or intentionally not declared, the timescale for the revenue finding out about those has shortened considerably with the introduction of the Common Reporting Standard, which, of course, is, the business of passing information from one jurisdiction to another.
Yeah. So the paper also talks about the success that Her Majesty HMRC has had since 2010, I suppose, when the Tories came to power. Mm. What it's achieved over that time, Bill?
Well, the government since 2010 in the UK has, believe it or not, introduced in excess of 100 new measures to tackle non-compliance. That's not just offshore stuff, that's non-compliance in general. Now, that has enabled HMRC to recover just short of £3 billion in lost tax revenues and secure and protect over £200 billion. These numbers are just earth-shattering. They're mind-blowing. When they say to secure and protect, they have now discovered the potential for future tax collection on assets that they previously were not collecting tax on, and they have therefore secured the tax revenue from those sources for the future. Now, that was all in place before the Common Reporting Standard began providing more information since 2016. It has increased its investigations into what are called high net worth individuals six times over, by a multiplier of six. They use a system called Connect. It's an analysis program providing an analysis to cross-check the data that it receives from abroad with the UK data, and that includes details on salaries, pensions, bank accounts, borrowings, mortgages, loans, property you own, car ownership, anything which is formally recorded. They now have a system called Connect, which does this cross-checking. You remember, Howard, we talked about 4 or 5 years ago when the development of the Common Reporting Standard was being discussed. We talked about how are they going to manage this. Well, I said to you then that computers have an incredible, you know, once you have an algorithm that can look at the various elements of personal property and ownership of assets, they only need to have a piece of software that can now cross-check all of that to tie you in and discover more about you than you know about yourself in terms of financial stuff. That the tax officials have confirmed that with the information they now have, they are challenging in excess of 500,000 individual cases every year. And that this is the beginning of the end of tax evasion, frankly, because in the modern world, with technology as it is, trying to hide your assets somewhere is really waiting for an accident to happen.
Yeah. Well, Bill, today HMRC also benefits from what you've mentioned, this Common Reporting Standard, but remind us what it is, when it started, and how does it work?
Well, the Common Reporting Standard, or CRS, is now assisting the international tax authorities around the world. More than 100 nations have signed up to this agreement, all of the leading nations and lots of the smaller nations, including places like Switzerland and Monaco coming on board and other so-called tax-favoured jurisdictions. And that information of your personal financial ownership of assets, income, and all the rest of it is now being transferred automatically between all of those member countries. And that is there to help detect past tax evasion. When I mentioned about the UK securing $200 billion and protecting that, that's because under the Common Reporting Standard, they've received advice on assets which they weren't previously aware of, where they believe they will be collecting $200 billion in tax over time. Essentially, the Common Reporting Standard is just helping the tax authorities by the automatic exchange of information. If you're a tax resident here in Spain and you've got assets in the UK or anywhere else in a country which has now signed up to the Common Reporting Standard, you need to carefully follow the local tax rules, the UK tax rules, and also the UK-Spain double tax treaty to make sure you are correctly declaring your income and paying tax where you should be paying it. There are a lot of legitimate, compliant, regulated, very well tried and tested tax planning arrangements available in Spain, and they can help you legitimately reduce your tax liability, particularly in respect of your investment capital, and in particular you can plan for tax savings as well in regard to succession tax, inheritance tax. So you need to talk to a specialist like Blevins Franks, who've got cross-border wealth management skills, so that you don't end up paying any more tax than you need while having the peace of mind that you aren't actually breaking any rules.
I can see the civil servants in the HMRC rubbing their hands with using all this data, Bill, that you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's so obvious, isn't it, Howard, that as technology improves, and as software becomes more sophisticated, look, if a lad of 15 can hack into the Federal Reserve Bank, then it doesn't take much to work out how you might establish with clever tech people an algorithm which works out how to cross-filter and cross-check and bring together all of the data on individuals so that they end up with a solid financial picture of what you've got, what you're worth, what your income is, what your assets are, and then to determine very simply if you've paid the appropriate levels of tax on all of that.
Yeah. Do you think what's good for Peter is good for Paul, or might say Paolo, looking at the Spanish tax authorities? Do you think they'll be taking a similar approach to the UK?
Yes, I think the Spanish tax authorities have changed volte-face over the last 25 or 30 years. Howard, you and I go back far enough to remember El Portador checks, you know, pay the bearer. You could walk into the bank and draw out as much money as you wish. No one asked a question. Deposit as much money as you wish. No one paid, hardly anybody paid any VAT or either. And the simple truth is that's all changed in the last 25 years. That is the wink of an eye in the passage of time. And the simple fact is Spain have done a phenomenal job, really, in recovering from a very deep financial crisis back in 2008 and have recovered their economy much faster than many, much more solid than some of the other economies like Italy and to some extent France. And the simple fact of the matter is that Spain now has become a high tax regime. You know, it is no longer the laissez-faire hacienda that we all came to know and love. If you do not administer your financial affairs correctly now, the punishments, the tax consequences of getting it wrong are serious. And frankly, with the cross-border information exchange now happening automatically, there really isn't a hiding place in the long term. You really just have got to sit down and work out what can I do to make sure I've got everything in, I haven't broken any rules, and at the same time I'm paying the tax that's due, but I'm not paying as much as I might otherwise have paid because I've got a sensible tax planning arrangement in force.
Well, many of our listeners living here have assets and earn income outside Spain. So how can they be sure that they're paying this tax correctly while still aiming to reduce how much tax they need to pay?
Well, you'll know how from earlier discussions that if you have assets outside of Spain at a certain level, generally speaking over 50,000 euros, you are required to make a report at outset under the terms of Modelo or Form 720, which describe to the Spanish tax authorities what overseas assets you've got. Now, this isn't a tax collection regime, Modelo 720, it's an asset tracking regime. It's simply being put into place so that you have to declare to the Spanish tax authorities what your assets are overseas, and indeed they can then track in the future whether there have been any significant changes, and if you sell them they'll know what the gains were and all the rest of it. Now that is under challenge under the European rules, that the European courts have determined that that is not a fair means of dealing with individuals, but the Spanish are not yet putting any changes in place, and it looks as if they're going to appeal again. So, you know, at the moment, frankly, at the end of the day, you've just got to be sure that you've positioned your affairs sufficiently enough to mitigate against the worst of the tax consequences of living in what is now a high tax country, and at the same time that you aren't, as I say, breaking any of the rules. Breaking the rules is no longer silly and no longer sensible.
Well, I suppose if somebody's listening to this, Bill, and he's a bit concerned about what his position or her position is, they must get in touch with somebody like Brevin Franks.
I think you know, Brevin Franks have been in business almost 40 years in continental Europe, providing dedicated. All we do is give advice to British or English speaking, but mainly British expatriates. And of course, we have skills and expertise ranging from lawyers to accountants to tax advisors to financial advisors, independent financial pension specialists. They have everything at their disposal in the local offices of Blevins Franks. And frankly, you know, at the end of the day, if you're uncertain that, or you think that you could by error be at risk, for goodness sake, this is the time to call Blevins Franks and make a meeting so that you can sit down and talk through where you are, what your past history is if you've got any concerns about it, and for Blevins Franks to help you move into the future with security, knowing that you are now on the right side of the line and that you are still not paying more tax than you need to pay, but you won't have broken any of the rules.
And of course the website www.blevinsfranks.com has the names of your local offices and the agents, so it's all very convenient.
Yeah, all the partners are listed there, and you'll find lots of information about some of the subjects we've discussed, Howard, and you know, articles written for various newspapers that Blevins Franks are involved with. You know, if you go to the website, I'm sure you'll find a lot of useful information, and of course, if you are concerned, for goodness sake, give the office a call. They'll come round. You can go to them and sort out the issues that you think might be of concern to you.
Many thanks, Bill. We'll talk at the same time next week.